Welcome, my name is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and we thank you for taking some time to listen to some audio recordings from the pulpit of the Riverview Baptist Church. Our desire is to show the Lord high, holy, and lifted up, as well as try to be a blessing to those through the Word of God. Please enjoy this message, and we pray that it will be a blessing to your life. And if you wouldn't mind to take your copy of the Word of God and turn with me to the New Testament book of Romans. The New Testament book of Romans in chapter number 1. We are finishing up and closing down on a series on the Holy Scriptures. And through this series, we've defined our terms. We defined what we meant by inspiration. We defined what we meant by the canonization of Scripture. How did we get the Scriptures? When did we get the Scriptures? Who put them together? We tried to define our terms and explain all of that. And in short, let me tell you what we believe. We believe that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished, and all good works. We believe that God gave us the Holy Scriptures. Today, we want to hit a specific subject that is mentioned in Romans chapter 1, dealing with the revelation of God, that God has revealed Himself in two broad categories. He has revealed Himself through general revelation. That means God has revealed Himself to all men. And every single one of us have the revelation of God that's enough for us to know there is a God. And then God has revealed Himself through special revelation, that is specific revelation, and that those come in two forms, Jesus Christ and the Holy Scriptures. That is how God has chosen to specially reveal Himself. When we talk about revelation, we also have to be very clear and explain that God has given light to every man. He has revealed Himself to every man, and that is enough for man to know there is a God. And because man has been revealed that there is a God, he has a responsibility to respond to that knowledge of God that he does have. So turn with me, if you wouldn't mind, to the book of Romans, chapter number 1. The book of Romans, chapter 1, and notice with me starting in verse number 17. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, the Word of God says this: "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of man, who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even by His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and to four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their body between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working with that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And if you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, would you mark a phrase that we find in the book of Romans, chapter number 1? The book of Romans, chapter 1, and verse 20, the end phrase, they are without excuse. They are without excuse. And if you wouldn't mind, let's go to the Lord together and let's talk to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You once again for the great privilege it is to be in Your house today. And I thank You for the folks that came, and I'm just asking that You would show Yourself faithful, that You would show Yourself alive, that You would be present. Lord, I recognize that if I do things myself, all it will do is get people aggravated and mad. It will make people just discount the things that I say. I'm asking that You would take over, that You would be with my lips, that You would be with my mouth, You would be with my thoughts, You would be with my ambitions, You would take everything, Lord. I lay them at Your feet, and I beg that You fill me with Your precious Spirit. In fact, not only do I ask that You fill me with Your Spirit, I'm asking that You would fill this place with Your presence for the purpose that people are not provoked because of their sin, but they would be convicted of their sin, and they would be drawn close to You and be willing to deal with it. Lord, show them that You are a real God who loves them and desires to forgive them if they would just come to You. Lord, help us not to rebel against You and who You are, Your image. Help us to be drawn closer to You because of this message here. Again, I must have You. It must be You that does this today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The Bible clearly says they are without excuse. As we look in our newspapers and our internet and any news source that you have today, most of us are probably shocked and awed about the way our society has turned. There are literally things, I know I'm a young man, but there are literally things I would not expected in my lifetime to have occurred. The debates, the things that are going on, the outright foolishness that to us we scratch our old heads and say, what are people thinking? But to be honest, these folks over here who are in the midst of the changes in our country and our society, they think they're good. They think they're right. They think they're on the right track. They think they're helping. And we scratch our heads, and we know in our country today that there's such a huge divide in thinking. I mean, it's not that they're necessarily, I'm trying to clarify it. There's such a difference in thinking. We think a certain way. They think something completely different. And to be honest, it is hard for each party to understand how the other ones think, because both of them think they are correct. Both ways of thinking, but whether it's a conservative or a liberal, whatever you want to define it, whether it's right wing, left wing, whatever you want to try to define it as, there's a total difference in thinking today. And people are split, and to be honest, it looks like there's such a huge rift that there's no way possible for both of these different ways of thinking to come together in any kind of understanding. It is getting worse and worse and worse. And we scratch our heads and we say, how did we get here? What happened? What is the cause of this? Where can we trace it down to? Is it because of this or this or this? Is it because of this or this or this? Is it because we're old fogies? Are we that old fashioned that we're out of date? What is it that we're not progressive enough? What about these folks over here? Why do they think the way that they do? Well, to be honest, the answer is always found in the Bible. We have to go back. What does the Bible say about it? And we have to learn to think biblically, because we understand that we have morals, we have laws, and then we have the Bible. And not all of them agree together at time to time. There are maybe some things that are not illegal, but they're immoral. There are some things that are illegal that shouldn't be illegal. And then there are things that are completely against the Bible that may not be considered immoral or illegal, but the Bible speaks against them. And we have to understand, what does the Bible say about all of these things? Then we make our own decision based off the information given to us. Because the Bible says this, do I obey it? Do I disobey it? And it all is dependent upon one thing. How do we see God? That's the whole context here. If you wouldn't mind, let's see this idea of God. The first thing I'd like to show you is the unmistakable witness of God. The unmistakable witness of God. Notice with me in verse 17 again. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know, God has revealed His righteousness, and He has revealed it through His Word. That's why the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. If you call yourself a Christian, you should live by faith. What does that mean? You should obey the Bible. Do you know half of the problems in our country would disappear if those who profess to be Christians behaved like Christians are supposed to behave? A lot of things would dissolve. A lot of things would go away. The problem is even those who profess to be Christians are not behaving as Christians. That's where we could source a lot of this from in the very first place. But God has revealed righteousness. He has revealed what is right. He revealed what we're supposed to do through His Word. Verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed. So not only is the righteousness of God revealed, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The Bible says that God hates all sin. You might as well just mark that. God hates all sin. There's not any type of sin that God thinks is cute. For example, our society is a society of liars. We lie with no provocation. We exaggerate, we twist the truth, we do all kinds of things. We're a society of liars. But God doesn't think it's cute. God hates all sin. And that is very clear by how God has dealt with sin time and time again. God hates all sin. Now, He does not hate the sinner. Make sure you're clear with me. He doesn't hate the sinner. He hates the sin. God loves all men, and He loves them all and wants them all to come to repentance. He wants all of them to come into fellowship with Him. God loves all men. He hates the sinner. And by the way, we who try to stand on righteousness, we have to remind of that of ourselves as well. We must love the sinner and hate the sin. Sometimes that's hard to do and hard to get across, but we have to love on people and hate the sin. Notice as it goes on, verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Here we come to the first witness that every person has. Every person has the witness of conscience. Everybody has the witness of conscience. Now, conscience is different than conviction, but every man has a conscience. Everyone has a moral compass that directs them what is right and what is wrong. There are certain things your conscience tells you not to do. Your conscience says, no, it's not right to go kill someone. All right? Your conscience will dictate that. God has given every person a moral conscience. Now, we understand your conscience can be directed. It could be changed. It could be taught. It could be other things. But every man has a conscience. And that is an evidence that there is a God because He has given us a conscience. That He's trying to direct a society and a people that there's a basic knowledge of right and wrong. There are certain things that are right to do and certain things that are wrong to do. And every man has that light or witness within them, a conscience. Notice we see a second revelation of God that is given to every man. Verse number 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. The second light that every man has is the light of creation. God created the world. Someone can say, oh, don't tell me you're one of those people who believe that God made everything. I do. People will sometimes say, well, if you were educated better, you would understand that God didn't do it. It was something called evolution. You know, I consider myself fairly educated. I was a scientist for a while. When I grew up, I wanted to be a quantum physicist. I had the privilege of working in the medical career field as a laboratory technician for 15 years, where I actually studied biochemistry. I actually played with bacteria and viruses, did the studies of blood chemistry, and other things that go along with that. Studying microbiology, that's pretty much a good study. And let me tell you, through all the studies and all the education and all the things I witnessed, I still believe that God created the world. And I believe that evolution had nothing to do with it. Evolution, if you look at it scientifically, cannot exist, nor can it happen. By the way, I'm doing a creation seminar later on this year on Wednesday nights, PowerPoint and everything. But I'm not going to get into that. I'm trying to say the world has even tried to cover up this idea. The world system has tried to cover up that God created the world. But even, it doesn't matter, the most basic thing to think God is the creator God. You can look at a sunset or a sunrise and look at the beautiful colors and you have to go, wow, something had to make this. Think about a little baby. That you take two half cells, one half cell from mom, one half cell from dad, and they combine together and this one cell splits and then those two cells splits and it begins to go through mitosis, which is the process of the cells splitting. Told you I was a scientist. And they continue to split. And to think from that two half cells joining together, a baby is formed, and inside of that baby, from those cells, has enough information that develops heart, it develops lungs, it develops bones. Do you know the bones are so hard? And inside of the baby, inside of the womb, these hard bones are being formed? And you think about the process of childbirth, you think of the process of that baby being made, and you have to go, wow! Only God could have directed and made that possible. It couldn't have happened by accident or by chance. And there's so many different evidences, scientific evidences for it. But you look even at a brand new baby and just to think about it, and you have to acknowledge there is a God. Now, you may not accept it, but everyone has the same light. God has shown himself through the evidence of conscience and through the evidence of creation to every person who ever lived, whether they're in Africa, China, Canada, Mexico, America. It doesn't matter what time they existed, whether it was in the 1900s, whether it was down in the 1000s, whether it was in the BCs or the 80s. It doesn't matter. Every person has the same light given to every man, the light of creation and the light of conscience. And both of those proclaim there is a God. Now, what people do with that evidence, what they do with that revelation, is up to them. There are some people who will say, there must be a God. I want to know him more. The Bible gives a principle that light obeyed produces more light. That you can't get saved just because of the light of creation and conscience, but it can lead you on a path to get to know God, and God can reveal himself through the witness of his word, through Jesus Christ, and show you who Jesus really is, who God really is. And that light obeyed produces more light. However, every person who has the light of creation and conscience may not obey it, and light disobeyed produces more darkness. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. See, God has given the light of creation, and in verse 20 it says, they are without excuse. Someone may say, well, you know, there may be some part in Africa where they've never had a Bible preaching church. Will those people go to hell? Unfortunately, they will if they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. You say, why? Because they had evidence that there was a God, and they did not obey the light that they had. Because of that, they are condemned already. Which brings me to the second thing. Not only the unmistakable witness of God, but the purposeful worship against God. So people have to respond to the light that they have. Either they acknowledge there is a God, or they say, ah, no, he's not God, or I don't want to know him, or yeah, leave me alone. They have to do something with that knowledge. Notice as it goes on, verse 21, because that when they knew God, so God, they had the light of creation and conscience, they all had to admit there was a God, whether they admit it or not, they've been exposed to it. Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. They said, I don't recognize that God did that. God didn't paint the skies. He didn't make little babies. He didn't create the world. He didn't do all of that. I reject the idea that there's a God of my life. When they glorified Him not as God, notice this next phrase, neither were thankful. Do you know where anyone's turn away from God begins? Unthankfulness. As soon as you start becoming unthankful, you step away from the revelation of who God truly is. That's where it starts with, unthankfulness. What do you mean? I'm thankful that God made me. I'm thankful that I'm here. I'm thankful for the breath that He given me. But when we start saying, God's not real, we're starting to be unthankful for what God has done for us. Because God is real whether you believe Him or not. There was a book that said that God doesn't believe in atheists, you know, just kind of a turnaround on the thing. God is real. Whether you believe Him or not, He is real. And we have to do something with that knowledge, and people will reject the knowledge of God and say, I don't care about Him, and they're not thankful for what God has done, and it brings them to a path. Neither were thankful, but became vain. That word vain means empty. They became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You know what happens when you reject God and you reject the light of God? Your thinking changes, and it becomes empty. It becomes darkened, it becomes selfish, and it's all about you, and you take a step into darkness and further from the light of revelation that God has given to you, and your thinking begins to change. Now what happens? You start off with unthankfulness, you start changing the way that you think, things start to form around, you become more selfish. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Anyone who comes to the place that says, I've studied all this and I reject God, they become foolish. Why have they become foolish? Because one day they're going to stand before that real living God and they're going to give an account for their life. And they're making foolish decisions with their life, not realizing and understanding they have to give an account to that God. And they become foolish. Notice as it goes on. And changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. If we were to summarize that idea, what they try to do is they try to put God in a box. They try to put Him in an understandable way. They try to put Him down. Well, I reject the idea of a God who could allow so much destruction in our world. By the way, it wasn't God's fault, it was man's fault. We are the ones who messed up everything. He had it perfect. But we said, no, we don't want you, God. You ever wonder why we have so many shootings and stuff? Because we told God not to come to school. There was just a shooting yesterday at a prom in Wisconsin. How can this happen? Because we told God not to show up at schools, not to show up in our lives. And so we are surprised when God removes His presence and all kinds of sin and darkness and things happen and we're surprised? No. You see, when you reject God and you try to put Him in a thing and you say, I don't believe He's big enough to handle this. I don't believe He's real. We try to put Him in a little container. We try to make Him in a place where we can explain Him away or put it aside. It changes the way we think and the way that we behave. Notice 24. It says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Notice this phrase that I'm going to give you. Idolatry is preceded by immorality. Idolatry is preceded by immorality. When you no longer see God as God, guess what? That means you're God. And you choose what is right and wrong in your own life. So if I choose to have my body be whatever I want it to do, because you reject God, your God, I think it's right for me to do this. I think it's right for me to be engaged in this. I think it's right for this. And what happens, you start going to immorality, things that are against the morals of God. And by the way, you say it's okay and it's fine and that's what everyone else is doing and no one else is going to yell at me except for you Bible people. And they live their lives because they rejected God. It all starts with the vision of God. If God is truly God in your life, there are certain things you cannot do. There are certain activities you cannot engage in and God still be God in your life. For example, it'd be hard to look at pornography while you're singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. Those things don't mix together. It's hard to say Jesus loves me, this I know, while planning on fornication or sexual sins in some other way. It's hard. You can't put them together. You have to reject the idea of God, and you reject the idea that God loves you. You reject the idea that God is real. You reject the idea that you're going to stand before God, and you choose to live your life however you want. Notice as it goes on. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts. They're doing what their heart wants them to do, to dishonor their bodies between themselves. Do you know you could dishonor your body by sexual sins, by drugs, by alcohol, by other things? And you say, it's not hurting anybody but me. Yes, but it's hurting you. And you know that there's consequences for your sins? You know, it could limit what you can do for God later on if you decided to get right with Him. Now, God still wants to use everyone, but there are certain sins that can limit your usefulness and your appearance. I have a friend of mine. He was in a rock band in the 90s, early 2000s. He was in the midst of them, Nine Inch Nails, all the stuff. He was part of those rock bands and knew them all. In fact, he's praying, still praying for the drummer of Nine Inch Nails. He calls me all the time and says, keep praying for him. I want him saved. But this man, he's a preacher now, but literally he has tattooed his whole body. He has tattooed his hair. He shaved his head and he had tattooed it. He has tattoos all the way up. And so he's a little bit limited. He always has to have longer shaggy hair to cover the tattoos and to cover this. And you saying God can't use people with tattoos? No, I'm saying God is using him. However, he's limited on what he can do because of them, because of the appearance, because of the things. You know, there's consequences that you can have that dishonor your body that can limit you from different things you could do later on. And by the way, we're brokenhearted for everyone who's engaged in those things. And part of our job as a church is to take people where they are and restore them and help them. I'm not trying to say you're hopeless. I'm trying to say God has hope and God wants to use you and God wants to bring you close. But sin is still sin and sin is awful and it's horrible. Notice as it goes on, verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator who is blessed more. You see, what has to happen is that everyone has the revelation of God, and what happens is that they have to change that image of God for them to have permission to do what they want to do. And at the very end, you are going to worship something or someone. You're either going to worship God or you're going to worship yourself. And people said, I can do whatever I want to do. Yeah, that's worshiping yourself. You are choosing who is God. You are choosing that you are the one that needs most pleasing. And what happens is that the worship of God is changed. So how does God respond to this? Let me show you this last thing. The allowed wickedness by God, without God. The allowed wickedness without God. So what does God do with this? You see, he starts off by showing every man that there is a God by creation and conscience. And man has to respond one way or to another to that knowledge. And if they respond to God, they get close to him. If they reject it, what happens is that they start changing their thinking and they start saying, it's all about me, it's all about me. So what happens? Does God put his thumb and force him and say, listen here, obey me or else? No, God is always a perfect gentleman. He doesn't want people to serve God because they have to. He wants them to serve him because they want to. You see, he's a loving God. Notice as it goes on, he allows the wickedness. Verse number 26, for this cause, so because they reject it and because they're worshiping themselves more than the Creator, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use, which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burned in their lust towards one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meat. Now, because we have a mixed audience, I'm going to be very careful. But in these verses here, it talks about the sin of sodomy. It talks about the sin of homosexuality. And the reason why they commit these sins is because somewhere they have changed the view of God. God speaks very clearly against these sins. And so someone has to change their view of God, set them aside, put them aside in order to engage in these acts. Because it's against nature. It's against what God designed it to do. Why did God create man and woman? Why did He create pink and blue? For them to get married and to procreate, to have children. That's what God said. I want you to have children. That's the whole purpose of marriage. Now we can enjoy the benefits of marriage and the having things together, but that's what God created it for, is to reproduce. And when you change that idea, you cannot reproduce. By the way, this is where our society has changed today. Once they now allowed sodomy marriages, what happens now? What happens when three women want to marry the same guy? They have to allow it. What happens when the guy wants to marry his dog? Hey, as long as love's involved. You see, when we get rid of the borders, what happens is that it changes all the rules and we leave any kind of definite right or wrong. And it's because we are the ones who say what is right or wrong rather than going back and say, what does God say what is right and wrong? We leave Him. Someone can say, well, what's wrong with it? The only thing that makes it wrong, by the way, is that God said it was wrong. That's where it is. You know, in Adam and Eve, back in the Garden of Eden, that fruit, when God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know what was wrong with that fruit? Absolutely nothing. Eve, when she took the fruit, she saw that it was good for food and pleasant to the eye and good to eat. There was nothing wrong with the fruit other than God said it was wrong. And so if you take God out of the equation, everything's right. But when we go back to God, God has a clear standard of right and wrong. And that's where we have to stand up. By the way, that's where we're going to get laughed at. And we do. You're one of those Bible thumpers. If you just get your narrow mind out of the Bible, you'd see everything is right. Yeah, I'm as narrow and as wide as this Bible. I want to stick with the Bible because I believe that there's a God I'm going to stand before and I'm going to have to give an account to. And I understand not everyone believe that, and they're allowed to believe whatever they want. I believe in something called individual soul liberty, which states that everyone has equal access to God, and because of that, they have the right and responsibility to find God's will for themselves, knowing that one day they're going to stand before God and give an account. Not my job to police everyone else's life. I'm not supposed to make you live right or wrong. Some people, oh, but you're a pastor. I know. My job is just to give information. You make your own choice based off the information given to you, knowing that one day you're going to stand before God and you're going to give an account for those actions. All I am is an informational person. You know, this helps me deal with people. I don't have to get mad and frustrated because someone doesn't believe the way that I do. Why? Because they have to stand before God. They don't answer to me. They answer before God. My job is to lovingly tell them the truth. And if they accept the truth, praise the Lord. And if they reject the truth, that's fine. They have to stand before God. I don't have to have the weight in the shoulder to twist someone's arm and say, believe like I do. It's not my job. But I have to lovingly tell them. And we have to work on the love part because sometimes we don't get loving when we try to correct people. Bless God! That's what preachers say when they can't cuss. Bless God, that sin is evil and it's wrong. And it could be evil and wrong, but we have to love on people. Because people are engaged in it. And then they're not evil. They're not wrong. There are some good people who are caught up with some foul stuff. And we need to take them where they are and help bring them to the next level. Bring them to where they are. To lovingly go aside with them and help them and walk with them step by step. That's what our job is to do, is to bring them back to God. Not to cut them off and say, God hates you and He'll never like you ever again. That's horrible. God loves everyone and He wants everyone. He's not willing that any shall perish, but all shall come to repentance. Notice as the Bible continues on. The Bible says in verse 28, even as they did not like Notice this, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. These people said, I don't want to think about God. I don't want to hear about Jesus. I don't want to hear about your religion. I don't want to hear about your church. I don't want to hear about any of those other things. Just leave me alone and let me do what I want to do. God says, all right. Okay. See, God is a perfect gentleman. But along with that, they have the consequences of their action. He says, if you want to do that, that's fine, but you also have the consequences that go through it. I found it amazing over these years that some people said, I want to do what I want to do, and then they get in trouble with God, and they make their families a mess and their lives a mess, and then they turn around and say, God, why'd you do this to me? God said, you chose this on your own, and there's natural consequences. It wasn't me. It was what you chose to do. By the way, he does that to us. And he allows us to make our own mistakes. He allows us to mess up because he wants us to go, oh, we messed up. I want God. I want God. Notice as it goes on, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. This idea of not convenient carries the same idea that they go out of their way to sin. They go out of their way. It's not like trouble found them. They went to go find it. They sought for it. They looked for it. Now notice this list of sins in 29 through 31. What happens? All of these sins happen because we don't have God in his rightful place. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Fornication. Fornication is a family of sins of anything that is done sexually outside of marriage. There may be guys and girls, forgive the term, shacking up together. That's fornication. That happens because they said, I reject God's law in my life. I reject who God is in my life. It says wickedness, covetousness. The word covetousness carries the idea of desiring something that's not yours to have. I desire what so-and-so has. I really want that. Maliciousness, that has the idea of doing harm to someone. Full of envy. Envy carries the idea that you can't be happy when something good happens to someone else. Why couldn't it happen to me? Why couldn't I win the lottery? Why couldn't I have this good thing happen? Murder, debate, deceit, malignantly, whispers, backbiters. Those carry the idea, the backbiters has the idea of gossiping. Where you're gossiping. Can you believe what so-and-so did? Did you see what she was wearing? That comes because God's not in our rightful place. By the way, gossip and lying are the acceptable sins of the church. We don't preach on those because those happen all the time. We need to clear house. Gossip should not be allowed in the church. Gossip should not be happening in God's people. Lying should not be allowed in the church. And we have to work on those things. Haters of God. We've all met people who said, I don't want to see your Bible. We were talking about this morning in Sunday school. I could walk into a place and carry my Bible and watch either people scatter or watch people stare. I watch people scatter and run. We were talking with a teacher not too long ago, and I happened to bring my Bible to a parent-teacher conference, and boy, she couldn't get me out of there fast enough. You know, it happens. People hate the Bible because they hate what it stands for. It stands for God. Haters of God, despiteful, proud. Pride is always a bad thing. Get out of the habit of saying, I'm proud of you, because pride is always a bad thing. We should say instead, I am thankful to the Lord for you, because we need to be thankful to God. Pride is always a bad thing. Boasters, inventors of evil things. Do you know the Bible actually talks about that God said, you did some things, you invented some things, I didn't even come to my mind, it was never in my mind that you would make such filth and garbage. People can create pretty evil, nasty things. Disobedient to parents. Children! You know when you disobey mom and dad, it's because God's not in his rightful place in your life. You are currently rebelling against God when you rebel against your parents. By the way, whenever you rebel against any kind of authority and you want to have that little, bless me if you can, I don't care. That's because you're not right with God. God is not right in your eyes. That's a problem. Parents, when you correct, little side thing, forgive me. We need to work more on correcting the inside of their heart rather than just the behavior, because it is a heart problem, not a behavior problem. Their behavior comes because of their belief, because they don't recognize God, especially if it's a continual rebellion problem. It is because God is not in their rightful place in their heart and life. And that's what needs to be fixed, and their behavior will follow. Notice as we go on, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedience to parents, without understanding. Here's where we're coming before. Remember I said, we think different than those people over here? Some of it is without understanding. They're not understanding. They're going to stand before God and give an account. And there's consequences for their actions. Notice as it goes, without understanding, covenant breakers. Do you miss the days when a handshake was all you needed? Now you need it signed in triplicate and have lawyers available and all that stuff. People don't keep their word anymore. Why? Because God's not in our mind. By the way, that happens to Christians inside of churches too. That if we can't keep our word, it's because God is not in his rightful place. Without natural affection, implicit, unmerciful. This list of sins all happens because God is not in his rightful place in our lives. Notice verse 32. Who knowing the judgment of God, they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This carries the idea that these folks have gone, some of them have gone so far away from God and so far from hating God that they actually know what makes God mad, and they not only do them, they take pleasure in them. God says not to do this. Well, I'll show him. I'm going to do it on purpose. And there are many people who do that. They purposely try to do it to provoke God, to see if God's going to do anything. Well, God didn't send lightning on me today, so I think I'm fine. I've heard people say that to me. I can live however I want. You see, it all happens with the vision of God. You see, God is so good and so kind, he doesn't send lightning bolts on us. I've had some people who are literally afraid to come to church. They said, the church is going to fall upon me if I step in there. The church isn't going to fall upon you. You see, God is a loving God. We have to remember that most of all. You hear about this and you almost say, well, are we supposed to be afraid of God? We're supposed to have a healthy respect and a fear of God, knowing that he's God and we want to be pleasing to him. But God is not a malicious God. He doesn't want to harm us or hurt us. There's natural consequences, but you know what God wants most of all? He wants us to be close to him. And how we can do that is by forgiving us of our sins. How did all this happen? You see, sin keeps us away from God. Heaven's a perfect place. That's why we want to go there. In heaven, there's no more sickness, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more death, no more tears. It's perfect. But what really makes it worth going there is that God is there, that Jesus is there. And the way that God describes Jesus and God is that he is holy, holy, holy. That word holy carries the idea of perfect, that God is perfect, perfect, perfect. The problem is, dear friend, is that none of us are perfect. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And after a message like this, I think we could all admit there are times that we've disobeyed God. God has given us a list of commandments, said of the Ten Commandments. And one of the commandments, it says, thou shalt not bear false witness, or don't tell lies. I'm a pastor of a New Testament church, but I've told lies before. How many of you have ever told a lie before, right? Yeah, if you're not raising your hand, we're a liar, right? Because we've all told lies. How many of us have ever disobeyed our folks? You know, parents are making sure they're checking on their kids, making sure they're raising their hands, right? Because we're all sinners. We've all disobeyed God, every single one of us. Do you know what the first commandment of the Bible is? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Do you know before you could break any of the other nine, you have to first break that commandment? That's what Romans chapter 1 is talking about. Because we break the have no other gods other than God, we're now allowed to commit all the other sins. Because we move God aside and say, God, you're not God in my life. God, you move over there. God, I reject you. Now we can commit all the other sins. We cannot commit any sin without breaking that first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods in our life. So, we understand that we're guilty of breaking God's commandments. Because of that, we deserve to be separated from a holy, righteous God. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That word wage carries the idea of a reward or payment. For example, when you and I work, because we work, we earn money. That's our wage, that's our payment. The Bible says for the wages of sin. Sin is anything we've done against God. We've broken the Ten Commandments. We have all sinned. Whether it was one lie or disobey our folks, whatever it is, we've sinned against God. The Bible says for the wages of sin is death. That word death carries the idea of separation. For example, if we had a funeral here and we had a casket, we would say the person inside is dead. that their body is there, but their soul is separated forever. The book of James explains that definition of death. Now, because of our sin, we deserve to be separated from a holy, righteous God in a perfect heaven. And unfortunately, when we die, there's only two places to go: a wonderful place called heaven or an awful place called hell. Do you know that God never created hell for a single human to go there? He created hell to punish Satan and his demons. Man goes there by default because there's nowhere else to go because of our sin. Because of our sin, we deserve to be separated from a righteous God. We deserve to be separated out, and the only place to go is an awful place called hell. Now, someone will say, "Now, preacher, all you told us right now is bad news." I know. But let me tell you what the good news is. The good news is that God finished off the verse in Romans 6:23, where he said, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten Son. That Jesus Christ came on this earth, who was God. He robed himself in flesh as a man, and he lived the same life that you and I lived. Jesus went through the same temptations, the same troubles, and the same heartbreaks. Then Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins and mine. And what's more, he did it for free. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." For example, if I was to hand out a gift, and I hand you a gift, if I was to say, "This is your gift," what must you do to make that yours? Take it. Did you have to mow my lawn for that?
No.
Did you have to pay me money for it? You didn't even have to be nice to me. All you had to do was take it for yourself. The same thing's true about going to heaven. To go to heaven, you don't have to go to church. To go to heaven, you don't have to help little, you don't have to pay money to the church. To go to heaven, you don't have to help little old ladies cross the street. Now, all those things are good things and things we should do, but those things don't get us to heaven. The only thing that gets us to heaven is that Jesus died for us and he paid that price. And all we have to do is accept that offer. And he promised us, and God can't lie, that he would forgive us of all of our sins. The most famous Bible verse in all the world is John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Do you know that verse could be for you? Instead of saying "whosoever in world," you could put your name in there. "For God so loved Steve that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Steve shall believe in him, he should not perish, but have everlasting life." You could put your name in that verse. God so loved you so much that if you are the only person on earth, he still would have came down on this earth and died for you because he loved you that much. And all that's left is that you have to choose, do you accept that free gift or do you want to do it on your own? You say, "How do I receive that gift?" Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You know, all you have to do is just ask God for that free gift. You know, a prayer doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. All you do when you pray to him is just, you're giving him permission to pay that price. And he promised to give it to you. You see, I preach a message like this, and I'm trying to say how awful sin is, but I also want to put on the other side how great God truly is. That he loves you so much, he doesn't care what you've done before. You could have been engaged in the most awful, vilest sins ever imagined, and God will still save you and forgive you of all of your sins. And he still wants to spend time with you in all of heaven. You say, "But God can't save me." Yeah, well, he saved murderers. Did you know that Moses was a murderer and God, he's in heaven now? Do you know that the Apostle Paul was a murderer and God saved him? Do you know that David was an adulteress? He actually committed sexual sins with a married woman and then killed her husband in order to be with her, and God was able to forgive him. You see, as awful as man's sins is, God is greater. And he loves you so much. You say, "But you don't know what I've done." I don't know what you've done, but I do know a great God who loves you so much. And he wants you just to accept him, to take him. He doesn't care what you're in now. You don't have to clean up your life to come to him. You just have to come to Him. He will change you from the inside out. You have to just recognize that your sin is awful. And it doesn't matter what sins you have, they're all awful. And if you would just come to Him, He'd make you white as snow. He loves you that much. He accepts you as you are. And He's willing to take you back if you would just have Him. You see, this is not a story about man's sin. This is a story about the love of God. That man can reject God and say, I don't want you in my life. And God still says, I'll still take you anyways. Man can say, leave me alone, stay away from me. And God says, I'm here when you want me. Just come to me now. Now is the accepted time. I love you now. Please, I'm calling for you. I want you back. We have a great God. Thank you for listening to this audio message. This is Pastor Scotty Bockhaus, and I encourage you to take this information that you just received and make a specific decision to follow after the Lord. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let me beg you to take the time to receive Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you are saved, I encourage you to make a decision in your life to help you get closer with the Lord. If there's anything specific we can do to be a blessing or to pray for you, we encourage you. Look us up on the internet at riverviewbc.com. Once again, that's riverviewbc.com. Or if you would prefer to call us, you could give us a call at area code 920-530-6308. Once again, that number is 920-530-6308. If there's anything we can do to be a blessing or an encouragement to you, please let us know. We would love to make ourselves available. Thank you.